ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight פרשת משפטים. ואלה המשפטים אשר תשים לפניהם. These are the statutes or the ordinances that you shall place before them. Of course, last week we read about the Aseret Debirot. Ve'ele is a continuation. The Vav continues. Mosif. Just like the commandments were given at Sinai, from a divine source. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. These mishpatim also were given at Sinai, from a divine source, from God Almighty Himself. But the Pasuk says you must place the mishpatim in front of the people. Asher tasim. You must present them. Rashi in his commentary says, "Asher tasim nifnehem, amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, lo ta'ale al da'atecha lomar eshne lahem aperek v'ha'alacha bet o gimal pe'amim ad shetehe sedura b'fihem kemishnata." Don't think, Moshe, that you're just going to give them the law two or three times until they remember it by heart, and you'll think that you fulfilled your obligation of teaching them. God says you're not going to teach the Jewish people the Mishpatim through recitation or by memory. Ve'eni matriach atzmi lehavinam ta'ameh hadavar u'pirusho. God says, don't think you can get away with just giving them a superficial interpretation. You have to struggle, he says, in order to give them clarity, in order they should understand every mishpat, what it means, what's the logic, what's the sivara, what's the rationale. Of course, in teaching, there's two ways to teach. There's one way just to give over the information quickly, superficially, just to get the student to understand broad knowledge. But God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, we cannot afford to do that when it comes to the Mishpatim. You have to say it over to them slowly, with understanding and depth, that they should know the reasons for each Mishpat. Lekach ne'emar asher tasim lifnehem. You have to place it, you have to present it. Kishulchan aruch. Umuchan le'echon lifnei ha'adam. So Rashi brings an example. The example obviously is coming from the Midrash, it's also a Gemara Eruvin, that the way we must present Torah to the student must be like a shulchan aruch, like a table that's set with all foods. It's interesting that Rabbi Yosef Karo, alav shalom, when he wrote his code of Jewish law, he named his sefer Shulchan Aruch, the set table. It comes from, obviously, this Rashi. We understand set table means it's prepared. Everything is in order. When a person comes to a table and everything is set, so it's very easy for him to choose. Everything is clean, everything is nice. But when it's all put in a slop, in a mess, and everything is in the wrong order, the dessert is in the front, and then the entree is in the back, and you can't get to it, and there's no forks on the table, and there's not enough plates. So it's a shulchan she'enu aruch. And therefore it's very difficult to navigate. So Rashi HaKadosh writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, present them the law, kishul'an aruch. Set it up beautifully, set it up nicely. Actually, Harambam, in the laws of Me'ilah, I have it here, in chapter Het, Halakha Het, basically says the same thing that Rashi writes. Ra'ui le'adam lehitbonen b'mishpetei ha-Torah ha-kedosha. It's proper that a person ponders the Mishpatim. I didn't explain to you what Mishpatim are. Mishpatim are the laws that have explanation. Of course, there's Hukim. The Hukim are beyond us. The Hukim are the, I would say, inexplicable. They are explicable to God, but to the amateur brain of ours, we have a difficult time cracking the mystery of Hukim. But Mishpatim are logical. So Harambam writes, Ra'u le'adam nitbonin b'mishpatei ha-Torah kedosha, v'lida sof enyanam. And you should plummet their depths. Kefi koho, according to his ability. Which means it's not enough when you learn Mishpatim to read a law and say, okay, that's what Hashem wants, I accept. Now I'll say v'nishma. You have an obligation to ask why. Why does Hashem want me to do this? What's the reason? Why not this? And question it. Most of the Mishpatim that we discuss in this parasha find themselves in the three Gemariot, Baba Kama, Baba Mitzi'ah, Baba Batra. These are the gates of wisdom of Mishpatim, mostly. So Rashi says, it's got to be presented Shulchan Aruch, with clarity, with clear understanding. What I wonder is why the Midrash compared it to a table and not the food that's on the table. I know you're saying, well, it's a technical question. What's the difference, the food, the table? But if the Midrash is going out of its way to say, present it like a table that's set, I would have said differently. I would have said, like well-prepared food. The Torah in this mashal is food. And you want the food to be made nicely. So when you give it to the person that's eating it, it's good, it's well-baked. It was well-prepared, the ingredients are correct. Why does the Midrash or the Gemara use the example that Torah must be presented like a table that's set? What's the significance of the table? You should say, kema'achal, kema'achal ta'im. Imagine somebody gives you a bread. You eat it, you say, no, there's no salt, it's bland. This is food that's not good. So you can't give a halakha over to the students where the student says it's missing seasoning. It's missing ta'am. It's missing something, doesn't click. I don't know what the punchline is. I don't understand what the sevara is. So you made a person a loaf of bread, but you forgot to put seasoning. That I understand. But Rashi doesn't say that. He says, you have to present it kishulchan aruch, like a set table. What is he fixed on the table? In order to understand this, a few months ago, we started to give a shi'ur on Monday nights, explaining the Birkat HaMazon. It's one of the only mitzvot that's from the Torah. And we felt that it's important to delve through some of the berachot and some of the depth behind it. And in our analysis of the Birkat HaMazon, we came across some very important hadushim. One of them being what the Gemara says in Berachot Daf Nun He. The Gemara says that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a piece of furniture in the Beit HaMikdash called the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was key, because it was the altar that effectuated kapara. If a person had a sin, he went to the Beit HaMikdash, he brought a korban, he made vidui, he put it on the Mizbeach. You went in a sinner, you left the Beit HaMikdash clean. That's why the Beit HaMikdash is called Har HaLebanon, the same name of this synagogue that we give our class on Thursday nights. Why is it called Har HaLebanon? It wasn't in Lebanon. It was in Jerusalem. But Lebanon comes from the Hebrew word Lavan. Lavan is white. The Beit HaMikdash was basically a laundromat. Whoever went in soiled and dirty came out Lavan. He came out clean. Har HaZeh Tov HaLebanon. And what was the washing machine? The washing machine was the Mizbeach. Although it's the dirtiest and the messiest of all the pieces of furniture, the Beit HaMikdash, but somehow the red blood and the meat and all the different service served as kapara. That's part of the reason why we mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Because we don't have that vehicle that brings us kapara. So the Gemara says, so what do you do in the post-galut? What do you do in the exile to get kapara? So it says, Shulchano shel Adam mechaper. A person's table is mechaper. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Vaydaber Eli ze ha-shulchan asher lefne Adonai. This is the table that is in front of God. Actually, the beginning of that pasuk is talking about the dimensions of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, Patach b'mizbeach v'siyim b'shulchan? The Gemara asks on the Prophet, you're talking about the Mizbeach, and you end up talking about the table? Make up your mind. So the Gemara says, the Prophet is talking about two different times in history. Bizman shebet ha-Mikdash kayam, it's the Mizbeach. It's the Mizbeach, the altar. And when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, then a person's table, the table itself, the Shulchan, is able to bring the person kapara, like a Mizbeach. That's why there's laws. Shulchan Aruch has a whole siman teaching you etiquette how to sit at the table. Maybe when you were younger, you remember your grandmother told you, don't put the baby on the table. Don't put your feet on the table. You have to come to the table dressed a certain way. We don't talk like that at the table. The table in Judaism is Kodesh. Whether it's the kitchen table where you eat or the dining room table. In old countries in Europe, from their dining room table, they used to make their coffins. After 120 years, they would break the table down into the woods, and they would be buried in it. The table itself served as kapara. The Darshanim say, on the Pasuk, Ze Eli ve'anvehu, which we read a few weeks ago in Parasha. What does it mean, Ze Eli, this is my God, ve'anvehu? If you look at the Targum on the word ve'anvehu, he says, Ve'abne le mikdesha. This is my God, ve'anvehu, I will build him a Naveh. Naveh is a palace. I will build him a Beit HaMikdash. Bizman she Beit HaMikdash kayam, when the Beit HaMikdash was in existence, that's where the kapara was. But today it's the table. So if you take the word ze Eli is Rashi Tevot, ze hashulchan, asher nefne Adonai. That's today's ze Eli. As a matter of fact, Rav Chaim Vital, the student of Rabbeinu Ari, writes, and I quote, Anyan Shulhan Ra'iti Lemori. Says, I saw my rabbi. Shaya Hoshesh Makpid Meod. He was very particular. Vizahir and careful. Le'echol b'shulhan Shildalid Raglayim. He made sure that his table that he ate had four legs. Dugmat Shulhan Shel Beit HaMikdash. Just like the Shulhan that was in the Beit HaMikdash. I'm not too sure how many people are makpid on this Azhara of Rabbeinu Ari when they buy a dining room table to look for how many legs it has. I know people are very makpid on the plasma TVs that they buy, that it should be a certain shi'ur, but we do not have a Kabbalah from Rabbeinu Ari exactly what dimensions and where it should be placed, lehavdil. But when it came to the table, he gave us specifications. And you learn something. And when you go to the furniture store now to buy a table, you tell him, what are you looking for? And it's got to have four legs, first of all. That's the first thing. And then you discuss mahogany, and you discuss the size, and how many seats, and all that. But four legs is a must. But Rav Chaim Vital doesn't explain what the reason why Rabbeinu Ari was so careful on this. But in another place, he tells us a very important yesod in life. I have a copy of this piece. It's in Sha'ar HaKedusha. Chelek Aleph Sha'ar Bet. There Rabbeinu Chaim Vital is saying that a human being basically is made up of four components. Every human being has these four components. And they are Esh, Mayim, Ruach, Afar. Esh is fire. There is a certain fire in every person. Everybody has a temperature, 98.6 degrees. God forbid, somebody that passes away, he becomes cold. There's no temperature, it's freezing, the fire is shut off. But in a human being, although there's no thermostat, although you don't see an actual flame inside of a person, but there is a koach of ish that is in a person. It is obvious there's a koach of mayim, water is one of the main elements of mankind, is water running through his body. If a person does not have water running through his body, he cannot exist even for a moment. He will dehydrate. Ruach is wind. Wind is air. Ba'azat Hashem's lungs are able to contain the air, breathe in and out. Without ruach, again, a person has no existence even for a moment. And then afar. Afar is, call it dirt, dust. Although you don't see it, it's not evident. But the flesh actually is sophisticated afar. You know, today they can do a lot of things with polyester, they can do a lot of things with all these type of elements, where you look at something, you say, "Oh, that's leather." No, it's not leather. It's fake leather. It's synthetic. Lehavdil, what they could do with afar is incredible. They take afar and they fashion the flesh. But if you break it down to its lowest common denominator, a human being starts as afar, and when they bury him, it says ve'el afar tashuv. Eventually, the body decomposes and becomes again afar. So those are the basic four components of mankind. Problem is, everybody is born with different consistencies of these four elements. It's not like you get 25%, 25%. And all of human nature depends on which one of the elements you have more or less of. And the whole tikkun of this world, when you came to this world to accomplish, is to fix the element that's a little high. Today they talk about high cholesterol. Today they talk about high blood pressure. And all the other deficiencies that are out of whack in the body, high blood sugar. The Chaim Vital doesn't talk about that. He gets to the root of it. If you went to the Chaim Vital, he'd tell you, you have too much ish. The fire is too high. You have to, there's no medication for that. You need some sort of spiritual antidote to lower the flame. Too much ruach, too much wind, too much afar, and so on and so forth. Now, he explains to you each element, what it brings. What are its deficiencies? And this is where I begin to read. And then you could probably figure out where you fit in. Some have all four deficient. Da. Ki kol amidot ra'ot מושרשות בדלת מדרגות נפש היצודיות מצד הרב הקליפה, ולכן כל המידות נחלקות לדלת מינים. All the bad traits and personalities can be divided into four categories, וזה פרטם, יסוד האש, ממנו נמשכת הגאווה. If you see somebody that's arrogant, somebody that's haughty, somebody that's inflated, he's got the fire on high. Because fire goes up. By nature, the fire is high. So that brings the ga'ava. Hanikrit gasut haruach. Gas. Liyot ha'yesod ha'kal ve'gavoa mekulam. Fire is also the lightest of all the elements, and therefore it's easy to go up. Ubichlala ka'as, a subdivision of arrogance brings a person to anger. Anger also comes from the ish. Maybe you once heard somebody say he's hot-headed. That comes from the heart. Rav Chida writes on the pasuk, Lo teba'aru esh bechol moshpotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. You're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbat. So he says that's the Torah's way of saying you should be extra careful not to get angry on Shabbat. Lo teba'aru esh. Don't ignite the fires of anger. Shabbat begins for Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Menucha. Nimsa ki ha-gaava ve-ha-kaas, midah achat. Then he goes on, yesod ha-ruach. What does ruach bring? Memenu nimshach dibur. That's where speech is. A person cannot speak without exuding air, ruach. Somebody that's very talkative, somebody that has excessive speech, not Devarei Torah, Devarim Betelim. Maybe you ever heard of somebody say, he's filled with har air. That's the ruach. He has too much ruach. He was born with ruach. He just doesn't know how to keep his mouth closed. Hanikrasi habetela. Nidvarim she'em ben tzoreklal. He just talks things that don't have any purpose. O nafshi'i, o gufani. No spiritual benefit, no physical benefit. Vitoldodeha. And from this excessive speech, medaber hanupa, he speaks false flattery, shekalim, lies, lashonara, legalot shebachav lebriyot. The one that has excessive ruach is always extolling his own virtues. Did you hear what I did? Do you hear how great I am? Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishle, Yahallelcha zar, velo picha. Let others praise you, velo picha, but the praises should not come from yourself. It's awkward when you hear somebody praising himself. A hesped that a person makes on himself has no room, has no place. Hespedim are supposed to be made by others. But I once heard from my rabbi, when one of the students was talking about himself and tooting his own horn, so one of the students turned to the rabbi and said, but you taught us, Rabbi, Yahallelcha zar velo picha, that others should praise. Why do you let him get away with it? He said, he has a different reading of the pasuk. He reads the pasuk, Yahallelcha zar, others should praise you. Velo, but if they don't, picha, then you have to do it yourself. So he fulfills that reading. But that again comes from ruach. It comes from too much wind. They say he's long-winded. A long-winded speech. Yesod hamayim. For what does the water bring? Mimenu ta'avat ta'anugim. Lust. The lust is in the water. The water levels. All the desirous nature. Why is that in the water? Ki chen ha-mayim matzmichim kol mine ta'anug. Because it's the water that grows all the delicacies. All the delicacies are in the garden. All the delicious fruits. All the delicious foods. But you have to water the garden. So the water motivates the ground to spit out all its goodies. So that's the water. And what does that bring to? V'toldoteha, chemda, love of money, ligzol mamon hadero, takes money that doesn't belong to him, v'ishto, takes his wife also, v'chol ashello, and everything that anek b'hem. And that leads to kin'ah, jealousy. Ki yekaneh b'havero, he's jealous of his friend, ashello mamon rav, that has a lot of money. Yesod Afar, when a person has an extra measure of Afar, Mimenu Midata Atzbut, that's where depression comes from. Sadness. Afar is heavy. He doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to get out of bed. He's lethargic. The afar brings laziness to a person. The afar is a very lazy element. It just lies all day long. It's inactive. You hit it, it goes up and then just falls right back down in its place and doesn't move. So the atzbut and the atzlut comes from the afar. He says, either he's depressed because he didn't make enough money, ala sagat kinyanei ha'olam hazeh, or ala yisurin ha'ba'in alav. Or he gets depressed because of the yisurin, the affliction, the hard life that he has. But again, all that comes from, he doesn't know how to keep his afar in control. He goes on to say, and I'll paraphrase and I'll come back to this. Truth is, somebody once brought me a book. In one of the shiurim, I talked about the four blood types. And I had asked in the shiur, and I didn't know the answer. I said, why did God make it that there's four different types of blood types? I understand no two people look alike. I understand no two fingerprints are alike. I understand everybody's voice is a little different. But blood, why not make a universal blood? You know, make a type O. Why does it have to be? He's an A and he's a, you know, a B positive, and you have to find somebody that matches. Why make it so complicated? Just make one standardized blood that everybody gets. I'm assuming that all kidneys are the same. A little bigger, a little smaller, but there's no two types of kidneys. There's no, maybe there is. What do I know? But I'm assuming that all the other body parts are basically the same. It's the manufacturer made one type. But when it came to blood, so then it's like, you know, when you go to the car place and have different types of oil. Then you want this type of oil. You know what they're talking about. Give me this one. You know the difference? You know, my car is type B, type O. What do I know my car? Give me whatever one you want. So when it comes to oil, it's a scam to make money. But God's not scamming us with different type of bloods. So somebody brought me a book, The Four Blood Types. And in the book he explains that all the personalities of people is based on their blood type. And I find it interesting because there's four types of blood types and there's four elements that man is made up of. And Rabbeinu Ari is saying that it comes from the four elements. So that could be that based on the person's blood type, that already is saying this blood type is more to ish and this one is more to Mayim, and this blood is more prone towards Afar, and this one is more prone to Ruach. So if everybody had the same blood, so then everybody would be the same. So what makes a person different, what makes a person, he came to this world to fix himself, so God puts him with the right blood where he has to make his tikkun. Fine. He says that that's why Hashem's holy name is Yudke Vavke. The Yudke Vavke corresponds the four elements of man, and as long as one of the elements is not fixed, there's a pigam in the Yudke Vavke. And therefore, when one neglects his character traits or his personality, it's a big deal, so I get angry. Big deal, you get angry, you pogam the Yud of Shem Hashem. It's a big deal, he likes to talk. I mean, you like to talk, but the hair, you blew the hair away with the Ruach. And so on with the Vav and the hair. So character perfection leads to the Yudke Vavke. And that's why he also explains that there's four types of tzara'at. There's four types of leprosy corresponding to the four deficiencies in man's character, in man's nature. Interestingly enough, the first Mishnah in Baba Kama, Arba avot nizikinen. There's four major categories of damage. according to Rav Chaim Vital, those four major nizikim come from Yesod Ha'esh, Yesod HaRuach, Yesod HaMayim, Yesod HaAfar. From there comes the source of all damage to the human spirit or to the human personality. So he goes on to say, first you have to know yourself. First you have to make an assessment on yourself. Once you assess where your weakness is your weakness in arrogance? Is your weakness in talkative, lashon hara, lying, sins of speech? Are you just lazy and depressed? Are you a person that goes after all the lusts of this world, eating and all the addictions and all? Then you have Yeshua and Mayim. Are you all of the above? Hazbar Shalom. Hazbar Shalom. No, nobody present, of course, in our Shi'ur. So he writes, and I quote, we continue. He says like this. Nimsa ki avot kol hamidot ra'ot. The four midot ra'ot, the four fathers of bad traits, hem ha-ga'va v'ka'as, that's in the ish, v'siha betela, too much talking, v'ta'avat ha-ta'anugin, pleasure, v'etzabon and depression. You could categorize everything else into one of those four categories. Those are the four avot. V'arba'atam nimshakot medalet kelipot ha-yetzer hara. And all of them come from one of these four elements. Vehofcham, and the opposite, this is what we have to strive to accomplish. Hem, dalid midot tovot. What are the four fathers of good traits? Nimshachot medalid yisodot tatov shebanefesh ma'anava, humility, which is the opposite of ga'ava, and anger. Shetika ke'ilem, silence, to control one's mouth, which is the tikkun of ruach. Velo yiftach piv levad be'esek Torah u'mitzvot. Don't open your mouth unless it has to do with Torah u'mitzvot. O be'echrecho l'kiyum aguf. Or if it's necessary to open your mouth for the sustaining of the human body. U'tzorech kavod ha'beriyot v'hami'us. So of course you need to go after some of the pleasures that can sustain your body, like eating and sleeping. But more than that, vasimcha hatidirit, and the antidote against depression is constant happiness. Sameach bechalko, ki kol da'avdin min shemaya netav. Because everything that God does to a person, it's for the best anyway. And when you do the mitzvot, you have to do them with a vibrancy, with a happiness. That's Rav Chaim Vital's eye-opening. The question is, which medicine do you take for too much ash, ruach, mayim, afar? This will not be fixed by an insulin shot, nor by some multivitamin, or even steroids, which today is very common for people to take, especially the athletes. So in the olden days, there was a way to fix the four yesodot. You went to the big pharmacy in Jerusalem. It was the Beit HaMikdash. And you went to the doctor. The doctor was the Kohen. And you told him, I need tikkun. Then what's the matter? You tell him, I'm all out of whack. Everything is out of whack. I'm an imbalance. So he tells you, well, what's the imbalance? He says, well, I figured it out here, too much this, too much that. He says, come into my office. Bring an animal with you. I'll bring whatever you want. You bring an animal, he brings you to the Mizbeach. That's the operating table. Zohar HaKadosh says, the Mizbeach was the equalizer. You did your work by the Mizbeach, and somehow it brought you to Tikkun HaShivayon, to a certain stability of Midot, and you walked out, and your body was cleansed. How? The Mizbeach has on it a fire. The fire is key. The Kohen would actually add some wood on the fire. When he throws the wood on the fire, what's your name? Eliyahu ben Nachel. L'shem Eliyahu ben Nachel. And now the fire is roaring. And now, the Kohen, he tells the fellow that's bringing the Korban, confess, you have to make vidui. As the Qurban is being brought on the fire, what is coming out of his mouth? Hatati, aviti, pashati, wind. That wind that comes out of his mouth next to them is Mizbeach. It stabilizes the wind. And then the Kohen says, you must put salt on the Qurban. Al kol korbancha takriv melach. Rashi asks, where did this come from? After all, it doesn't have to be seasoned. God is really not eating the korban. It's like you have to put salt and pepper and cumin. What are you putting salt on the korban? So Rashi says, because it's an appeasement. When God created the world, the whole world was filled with water. And then God put a sky, and that separated between Mayim and Yonim, and Mayim Tahtonim, the upper waters and the lower waters. And the lower waters had a claim. The lower waters came to God and said, hey, it's not fair. We used to sit first class. We were up there in Shemayim. All of a sudden you put us here in the economy. You put us in the back of the plane. Now we're on the bottom over here. We have all the surfers with us. We were with God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you'll come back to me. From you, the waters of the ocean, we're going to get the salt. And the salt will be put on the Mizbeach, and the salt goes back up to God. So the salt actually is the water. That's why I'll call Korban Echad Tekli Melach. Because most of the people are coming with issues of too much water, too much ta'ava. That's really most of the people that we know. It's the ta'ava that's out of whack. So they come and they put the salt on the Mizbeach, all of a sudden, boom, he's balanced again. Where's the afar? So if you look in the Torah, it says, Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli. The Mizbeach is called Mizbach Adama. And then as she writes on Mizbach Adama, that the Mizbeach itself was made of earth, that that's the spot where God took the original Afar and made Adam Arishon. On the place where eventually the Mizbeach Shel Adama was placed. And therefore, the Mizbeach itself is the Afar. This is the secret behind Korbanot. We, unfortunately, lost this. So now we need a substitute. Rav Levi Yitzhak Mibarditchev. He writes a big chiddush. He says that, you know, there's a law in Korbanot that before you could bring the animal on the Mizbeach, you must inspect the animal for 4 days. It needs 4 days of bikur. Bikur doesn't mean visitation, you're not visiting the animals. Bikur means inspection. Remember, where in the Torah did we learn it? Korban Pesach. You remember God told the Jewish people to take the animal and tie it to their bedposts on the 10th day of Nisan. They didn't slaughter it till the 14th of Nisan. So take it on the 14th. What do you have to take it 4 days before? Because the animal must go certain inspection to make sure that it's valid. That's the simple interpretation. Rav Levi Yitzhak Mibarditchev says, you know what the pshat is in the Dalid Yemei Bikur on the Behemah? You know who the Behemah is? The guy's the behemah. You're the behemah. Me'ila. And he needs 4 days to make introspection each day on another one of the yesodot. Before he can bring the korban, he has to see, where did I go wrong over here? Too much ash, too much ruah. So each day you make bikur on the behemah. And after you finally figure it out where it's coming from, now you bring the amah to the kohen, you go to the mizbeach. The mizbeach like stabilizes the patient, and you come out, whatever the copay you have to give the kohen, if there was, and then you're exonerated. Aharatom azeva levanon, you come out white. Problem is, what do we do today? Today there is no Mizbeah. But the Gemara said, Shulchano shel Adam mechaper. The Shulchan, the person's table, is able to give the person this kapara. That when you're eating off the table, it's like a mizbeach. And just like the mizbeach was a stabilizer, the table, of course, eating with the right kavanot, I'm not saying kavanot harashash necessarily, kavanot, berachot, v'retorah, whatever the proper procedure to table is. We're not talking about a person sitting down like a glutton and guzzling down the food and eating like an animal, and that's going to bring him tikkun. But that might explain why the Ben Ari was careful that his table has 4 legs. Because each one of the legs corresponds one of the yesodot. One leg keneged esh, and one leg keneged mayim, and one keneged ruach, and one keneged the afar. Because that's today's mizbeach. So the 4 legs represents the 4 yesodot that the table is able to fix. I'd like to say tonight that there is another way to do it. Harambam writes in Hilchot Temura, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Gimal, he says like this, incredible word of Rambam. V'rov dine Torah, the majority of the dinim of the Torah, the laws of the Torah, enam ela etzot. He calls the mitzvot advice. Actually, the Zohar HaKadosh also, when it refers to the mitzvot, it calls them pieces of advice. Merachok, advices that come from far away. Legedol ha'etzah. God is called Gedol Ha'etzah, the great advisor. And what's the purpose of the mitzvot? Letaken ha-de'ot ul-yasher kol ha-ma'asim. Basically, the purpose of the mitzvot is to straighten the person out. We always look at mitzvot as religious obligation. It's a duty, we're bound. This is true. But Haramban says there's a great benefit. Last week we read, or 2 weeks ago, Ki ani Hashem rofe'echa. God says, I'm your doctor. And I'm giving you a prescription. If you want to have Yishur Yoshir Hada'at, a stability in your mind, and a balance, that's what he's talking about over here. The Takena De'ot, sometimes people are too much of this and too much of that. This is to straighten them out. And what is the antidote? What is the medicine? God says, I gave you advice. Follow the Torah and the mitzvot. Keep a Torah lifestyle, and all of a sudden it'll balance it. What the mizbeach does, what the table does, Torah does. The Pasuk says in Tehilim, Imrat Hashem Tserufa. The word of God, which is the mitzvot, Tzirufa. What is Tzirufa? So the Ramban explains, it's like a matzref. You know what a matzref is? Matzref is a hot oven. Maybe they call it a kiln. And they put the silver, matzref la kesef. You put the silver when it still has its impurities, and you put it in the kiln, and it burns it out, and all the dross oozes out, and now the metal becomes purified. Imrat Hashem Tzirufa. The Torah also is a mitzaref. It purifies the person. Somehow, by keeping the laws of Lashon Hara, the Ruach gets settled. By following the laws of not eating all these things that are forbidden, somehow your ta'ava becomes, the mayin becomes, so you can't look at everything you want, and you can't eat everything you want, you can't do everything you want, it controls the ta'ava. Living a Torah lifestyle says you have to get up early in the morning to go to shul, you have to read Kiryat Shema by a certain time, you have to pray Amidah by a certain time. The religion will get you out of bed. Right away it controls the afar. And many of its mitzvot are there in order to bring a person to simcha, to happiness. Look at the holidays that we have. Look at the Shabbat that we have. If you keep it to that lifestyle, the depression without Prozac and any other prescription medicines, it should go down. That's what the Ramban is saying. And that's why, interestingly enough, how many sections of Torah do we have? We have Pardes HaTorah. There's four levels of Torah. We have Pshat, we have Remez, we have Drash, and we have Sod. Because by studying the Pardes, each one corresponds to another one of the Yesodot. And therefore when we study in a class, the job of the rabbi is to try to sprinkle in a little Pardes. Pshat, Vidirashi. A remez, it gives a little gematria, a dirash, and a little from the Zohar, what the Zohar has to say. That's why in these classes that we offer, we're very careful to try to make sure that the vitamin is fortified. That when the student leaves, he got a little of everything. So the Pardes Torah, whatever the student was lacking when he came in, the Torah fed his pshat and his remez, dirash and sod. So everything is now balanced again. When you come to class, you're going to the doctor. Somebody asks you, where you going? You have a doctor's appointment. Is everything okay? Everything's fine, B'zat Hashem. Just going for a maintenance check. That's what we do in Shiurim. The Torah itself is the great equalizer. Oh. Now we go back to our original idea that we started the Shiur. As she said, you have to present the mishpatim in front of them. And how did Rashi say you have to present it? Kishulchan aruch, like the table. You know what the pshat is? That just like the purpose of the table, when it's four legs, is to serve like the mizbeach. And the mizbeach's function was to fix the four yesodot. So too, the Torah is like a table. The Pardes HaTorah, when you explain the Mishpatim and you elucidate on its laws and you expound on the Torah's logic and you give a pirush to it, that becomes like a Shulchan Aruch, not the food that's on the table, the table itself. Vaydaber Elai Zeh HaShulchan, Torah itself has the same quality. This is true. I saw this week, I was introduced to a new sefer. The sefer is called Binat Yisachar. Who introduced it to me? Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, Gaon, he says, look at this new Sefer. It's not new Sefer at all. It's quoted by Rav Chida, it's quoted by the Hatam Sofer. But I didn't know such a Sefer existed. He directed me. I needed direction because he discusses a very sensitive topic that most people, including the speaker, are very ignorant on, and that is the subject of Gilgul. Reincarnation of Neshamot. Maybe you want to dim the lights a little so we have a we have more effect. Gilgul Neshamot. So from where are you getting into Gilgul Neshamot? Because if you look in this week's Zohar HaKadosh, in the beginning of the parasha, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefnehem, these are the laws, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ilen inun sidurin de Gilgula, Ele ha-mishpatim, these are the laws of Gilgul, of reincarnation. Dinim, the nishmatim, the laws of the neshamot, the iddanu, that were judged, kol had, vehad lekabel onche. Somehow, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when he saw Ela Mishpatim, he didn't see judges or judgments of laws, of statutes. He saw judgments on people. So, oh, these are the Mishpatim. This is the judgments, how God brings down souls for a second time, and so on and so forth. So therefore, the subject of Gilgul Neshamot is very pertinent to the parashah. So the question is Gilgul Neshamot good for the person or not good for the person? What's the question? You're bringing a person back down a second time. If he failed once, and that's already his weakness, and he's coming down somehow to fix it, what's to say that he's not going to make the same mistake twice? Why is it so beneficial? Oh, no, what? Gilgul. No, Gilgul again. So he makes the Avira twice. Maybe it's better just for the person to get purged, wherever they purge him, the purging section. But to come down and make the Avira twice, now it's two strikes against the person. So is it really something beneficial to be in Gilgul? Now, before we go further, I must add this. The Shlach Kadosh writes that if you are a Gilgul, you won't know it. And you don't have to get preoccupied. Who am I? What am I? What was I? What... You are who you are. And it's not painful, he says. Only later on in the process, you see, according to the Shlach Kadosh, Gilgul can happen maximum three times. He actually quotes a pasuk in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, "Ve'im shelosh ele lo yaaseh la." If you can't do it, shlosh ele with the three Gilgulim, ve'yatzeah hinam. Finished. He's out. And Kasif. Some quote another pasuk. It says in pasuk, "Al shlosha pishay Yisrael, v'al arba'a lo ashivenu." Al shlosha pishay Yisrael, because of the sins, you get three shots. V'al arba'a lo ashivenu. I'm not bringing him back a fourth time. Lo ashivenu. There's different pesukim to prove it that it's three. Maybe the reason why they pick three is because three is hazakah. You know, you messed up three times already. That's a, maybe from baseball they got it. Strike three. Wherever they got it from, the havdil, of course. I mean, that's what, maybe baseball got it from the Gilgulim. That's what I meant to say. That's where strike three came from. But the Shlach Kadosh, this is a parenthetical, what I'm saying now. He says, after the third time, that's the Gilgul of coming into a human ends. Then the Gilgul of animals begin. Then the guy comes back as a cow, and then he comes back as a, you know, starts with kosher animals, and if he still can't fix himself, comes back as a... And then you know it. When it gets to that level, you know you're a Gilgul already. When the cow that has in him and neshama, he knows that he wants to get out of it. And it's painful. So, Baruch Hashem, at least at this point, none of us have to be concerned about the pain of Gilgul, because when it's in a human being, it's harmless, it's painless, and you just have to do the right things, and B'zat Hashem, it'll get fixed. But the question of the Binat Yisachar is it worth it? Or are the odds against us in Gilgul? So he says, U'me'ata navo leba'er, or lebi'ur, dehainu ta'ama, this is the reason, de'adraba, I'm sorry, the old print, דראה חוכמתו יתברך שהגלגול יהיה לטובת האדם. It's actually beneficial. אחרי שהוא עלול לחטוא מצד טבעו. The person's nature the first time around was prone to sin. הנשרשת בו מיום היוולדו. He was born with a certain proneness, like we said. One of the elements obviously was out of whack. So what stops him not to make the same sin again? So he says, Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Oseh, Mesaleko min ha'olam, he takes him out of this world after 120, U'mechadesh oto, and he reinvents the person, B'tiva'ot acherot, with a new nature, mitnagnot lirishonot, that's totally polar opposite than his first traits. Kegon, imaya bepa'am rishon kilay b'teva. Let's say he was a cheapskate in the first round. Which teva comes from cheapskate? Maybe Mayim. Let's hold on to his money. He loves his money. Doesn't want to part with it. He can't. He's a tightwad. He's tight-fisted. He's frugal. There's a lot of words for that. So he says, "Haya kilay b'teva, u'mikov azeh b'til kama mitzvot." Because he didn't give tzedakah. He doesn't do chesed. So what happens the second time around? Noten lo ka'et beleda sheniya teva shel vatranut. He's born with the water level balanced, maybe even at a perfect level, where he's very easy to give. God will bring him back the second time with a chance to fix it, because he's going to put him in the nature that it's easy for him. So Gilgul is a good thing. D'tib'o yisayi'en lalo. His good nature that he'll get will fix, will help him. V'chayotzebo. Yutan lo v'param sheniya ha'hipuch me'ota teva kede sheyizkeh al yada l'chaye ad. Amazing. So God will give you the advantage in the Gilgul. He's not looking to hurt you, bringing you back. He doesn't bring you back with the same weakness. He makes sure that where you failed, now that midah is going to be in check, so you'll have a chance to make the tikkun. So it's a chesed. With this he explains the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-mekayem et ha-Torah me'oni, sofa lekayema me'osher. Anybody that keeps the Torah, me'oni, when he was poor, at the end he'll keep the Torah when he was rich. So he writes like this, he says, I'm paraphrasing. He says, we're talking about a guy that was born, and his teva, he was poor, he was a poor man. That's the way he was born. And as a result, he failed a lot of tests of life because of his poverty. Although he was mekayem the Torah, he says, but not 100%. So he has to come back in Gilgul. If God's going to bring him back as a poor man again, in all odds, he's going to repeat the same sins. So God brings him back the second time as a rich man. In order, now that he's rich, all the mitzvot that he couldn't do as a poor man, he'll be able to do as a rich man. Kol ha-mikayem et ha-Torah me'oni. But he says, kol ha-mikayem, you know, almost the Torah me'oni, so far, the next Gilgul, yikayem otah me'oshir. And the opposite is true as well. This is an eye-opener. That's the case. He says a big chiddush. Where did they get this thing of Gilgul three times? You know, it should be unending. Just keep on recycling. Keep on bringing it back down again till the job gets done. So he says like this. Basically, how many times is a person going to come down altogether? One time when he comes down, plus three Gilgulim. Altogether, it's four shots he has. Ball four. He has four shots. So he explains, how does it work? Guy, let's say, came down, and originally his ish was high. And he was an angry guy, and he always would, you know, get angry, and gava, and makpid, and all that. And God said, no good, no good, no good, no good. Take two. So when they bring him down again, they're not going to put the ish high again, because he's going to make the same mistake. So they put the ish at a normal level, but they elevate the mayim. In order to keep the ish down, they got to elevate the mayim. So now the guy comes down, anger is perfect. But the guy's going after the ta'avot. So God says, okay, well, he fixed this, but now he messed up on the other item. So God says, all right, listen, now he's got to fix the mayim. So put the mayim back down. How do we control the mayim? We'll elevate the ruach a little, dry up the water. So he comes back down, mayim, no ta'avot, no number, don't stop talking. Can't shut the guy up. So God says, I get too much ruah, balances the ruah, finally brings him down. Everything else is about, but he's got to come down with some nisayon. You can't just come down to this with the perfect tzaddik, so what are you coming down for? So God, let's test him in the afar. The afar is a little elevated, the guy doesn't get out of bed in the morning. The guy's depressed, the guy's lazy, good for nothing. God says, listen, what am I going to bring you back down? For the chaos again? You messed up on the chaos. You did all four already. Now what? So therefore, although God will help the person the second round in what he failed, but he's still going to have this yonot. Doesn't mean he's going to have an easy sailing. He comes out as a gilgul and he does whatever he wants. By the fourth time already, he did he batted around. You know, he went the whole lineup already. He's finished. Now you're back to the first yesod. Oh, now we understand why Rabbi Shimon, in the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim, introduced us Soda Gilgul, because when he opened up Parashat Mishpatim, he said the Ela Mishpatim, and he saw Rashi said you have to set the Torah like Shulchan Aruch, the Torah is like a table. And just like the table has four legs that's able to mitaken the four yesodot, so too in the mishpatim you must teach Torah in a way that it's able to bring a person to that equilibrium of midot, like the Rambam wrote in Hilchot Temurah, when he said, "Litaken ha-deot ul-yasher kol ha-ma'asim." So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, when he saw the purpose of Torah, he said, but if you don't do it, then already, Ilen inun sidurin de gulgelaya. This is the sword of Gilgul. That if you don't study Torah and let it fix you, you're going to have to come back down again to fix the four yisodot. And therefore there's a common denominator between El HaMishpatim, between Shulchan Aruch, between the Mizbeach, between Soda Gilgul. And that explains to us the first three words of the Perasha. Be'ezat Hashem, next year we'll move on to the fifth word of the Perasha, and we'll try to explain it. At this pace, we have an eternity ahead of us. But Be'ezat Hashem, everybody in our shiur will be granted long life and health, so we'll be able to continue revealing these secrets. But for us, this is a great awakening, how important it is for us to study Torah. For ourselves, for our own personal development, in order that we take the advice. Imagine Lehavdil, and I'm finished with this, Lehavdil, because I don't like to use these examples. If a great Harvard professor, you people don't even know what Harvard is because you're such tzaddikim, you don't know anything but Torah. Harvard is an Ivy League, poison ivy, Ivy League college, university, whatever they call it. I'm not mezalzel, chas v'shalom. It's very smart. The people come from there. And if somebody from Harvard would come to you and tell you, listen, I'm a Harvard professor, I want to give you advice. Say, advice, I'm a Harvard professor. You'd listen to him with all your ears, with all your kavanot. Let me write it down. You mind if I put a tape recorder in front of you? Can I review it? Could you write it? Could you email it to me? Can I take a picture? Harvard advice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ilat Ha'ilot V'Sibat Ha'Sibot. God is the wisest of all. And He tells you, I have advice for you. The mitzvot are etzot, Rambam writes. Gedol ha'etzah. The great advisor says, I created you. Let me give you advice how the machine will operate optimally. Fulfill these objectives and it'll be good for you. Ve'en ha'mishpatim asher tasim kishulchan aruch. You don't need a mizbeah. According to this, you don't even need a four-legged table. All you need is Pardes HaTorah, is the Sefarim, and a good teacher, and in order to understand it clear, and then Be'azat Hashem, the four levels of Tzara'at will dissipate. The Arba Avot Nezikim will be ridden of, and then Be'azat Hashem, instead, will be fulfilled. V'nasu Yagon Da'anacha, all the troubles and all the tzarot of the bad midot of man will go away and will be fulfilled on us. Now that we're entering Be'ezat Hashem, the great months. Le'hudim ayta ora, ora zu Torah. V'simcha, v'sason, v'ikar. Amen, v'amen.